I appreciate the God that I serve, and I appreciate a family that's excited about singing about the God that I serve. Man, that was a tremendous blessing, and I like to hear when somebody sings, they open their mouth and project something, and that was a blessing, man. I've heard some folks sing before, and you have no clue what they're saying because they don't open their mouth, and I think preaching's the same way. If clearing your voice is louder than your preaching, you need to go back and ask God if that's what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. You're supposed to lift your voice like a trumpet, the Bible says. And so if a preacher gets up and clears his voice and that's louder than the actual preaching, he's got some problems. All right, amen. Exodus chapter 33. Of course, I guess some preaching, some people think it's too loud. I've been told that many times, and I've had people walk out of the service because the preaching was too loud, but amen. I'm going to be myself. Brother Mike told me, gave me permission to be myself, and I appreciate that. Exodus chapter 33, I have thoroughly enjoyed I always love coming to this church. I do. I love you folks and your pastor, and always so kind to us, and man, we enjoy being here. Every time we get a chance to come, we enjoy when y'all are with us. Amen. We just feel like an extension of each other's churches, and I'm so thankful to be here, and everything's been wonderful. Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to look at a few verses here and give a thought and then try to get out of the way for the next preacher, the singing coming up. All the singing preaching this week has been absolutely wonderful, wonderful, and I thank the Lord for it. I go to some places sometimes, and the singing's okay, and the preaching's not that great, but it's been great this week. And I'm very thankful for it, amen. Our family needed it, I needed it, and thankful for it. All right, Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 1. The Bible tells us here, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments." Now look with me over in verse number 12 of the same chapter. Verse number 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And so we find here in chapter 33, this is following the horrific event that took place in chapter 32, where Moses went up to talk to God on the behalf of the people. And while he was up there, God told him, man, you got to get back down this mountain because they've done created another God. The assistant pastor Aaron took over and wreaked havoc while the preacher was gone. I mean, just all kind of problems. And Aaron doesn't know what's going on. And he said this thing jumped out, but yet he carved it. And man, it's just an absolute mess. And then God tells him here in chapter 33, he said, listen, I told you I was going to help you. I promised I'd get you there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send an angel ahead of you, and they're going to wipe out the inhabitants of the land. and you're going to go, but I'm not going with you. Man, what a tragic statement. What an absolute tragic statement. God not going with them. I'm afraid this morning that we have a lot of people and families and churches that are in a mindset of we're just going to go on, and we don't even know if God's with us or not, but we're going to go on. We're just going to go on anyway. God told Moses here that I'll send the angel ahead. I'll take care of the enemy, but I'm not going with you. And so God instituted the visible presence to the children of Israel that would lead them back in chapter 13. Go with me there real quick, Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13. We find that God's talking to Moses in chapter 33. He said, you go ahead, but I'm not going with you. Up until that point, God had been leading them everywhere they go. The cloud by day, the fire by night. We find where this was instituted here in Exodus chapter number 13 and verse number 17. If you're there, say amen. 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 All right, that's about nursing home level, but we'll use it. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Man, that was an ordeal, wasn't it? That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. In verse number 21, the Bible tells us how God led them. And it says in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse number 22, and he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God said, I'm going to lead you. They came out of Egypt, and here is how I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to necessarily preach on this thought right now, but if you notice there in verse number 17, God said there was a quicker way, but he wasn't going to take the children of Israel that way, because if they saw the war, they saw the violence, that they would get scared and run back to Egypt. So God said, I'm going to take them the long way because their faith isn't ready yet. You know, sometimes God in your life will show you what to do, and you might say, God, that's the long way around to where I want to be. But there's a reason for it. He knows you're not ready yet. He knows that your faith isn't at the point where it needs to be. You see, because God could have wiped out the enemy, and he could have led them right on through, but they just weren't ready for that yet. But God instituted this thing of the cloud by day and the fire by night. It was the visible presence of God that led the children of Israel. And this is where it started. We find in chapter 14, verse number 19. Chapter 14, 19. Walk through here with me. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 19. We find that this cloud and fire, which represents the presence of God, not only led them, but we find out it shielded them. I mean, it didn't just show them where to go. It shielded them from danger. It shielded them from scary things. Amen. All right, look here in verse number 19. The Bible said, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Picture this now. The children of Israel are following the cloud. God stops. When it stopped, they stopped. When it moved, they moved. It went before them, it stopped, and it went behind them. Now they're sitting there wondering, they're probably wondering why the cloud goes sit behind us. Because it just went behind them and stopped. And they don't understand that there's danger coming. They don't understand that trouble's coming. And God, in his great mercy and grace, he went and stood behind them. And when they turned around, all they saw was the presence of God. And they never saw the enemy. It shielded them. Aren't you thankful that you don't know what's happening next week? If you knew what was happening next week, you would be terrified. You say, what's happening next week? Everything's going great. You're coming out of a meeting. I'm young, but I've been in this thing long enough. I've been pastoring over 10 years now. I know when you come out of a meeting, but you know what I'm thankful for? I have no clue what's coming next week. And guess what? I don't need to worry about it because the God is the one that takes care of it. We find this cloud here in verse number 19, moved from before them and went behind them. Look at verse number 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these. So the one came not near the other all the night. Man, isn't it nice to know that if you dwell with the presence of God, that you don't know what's on the morrow and you don't know what the enemy's doing, but the presence of God will shield you. I'm thankful to know that. And this cloud did this for the children of Israel. Not only did it lead them, but it shielded them from some things. Brother Charlie Andrews, my pastor, always said that if we have the blueprint for our life, if God gave it to us, we wouldn't like it. We wouldn't like it. Amen. You know what it's best to do? Get up every day and trust God. Get up every day and trust Him. Not only do we find it led them, and we find out it shielded them. All this is the introduction. The message won't be that long. Amen. But we find out that it troubled and crippled the enemy. I mean, the children of Israel had no clue what was going on the other side of that cloud. But look with me here in verse number 23. Verse number 23, I think this is wonderful. Amen. I love it. You cannot beat the book. Amen. Hollywood can't come close. Amen. What I'm about to read sounds like it came out of Hollywood, but guess what? Hollywood came out of here. Amen. This is where they got their script. Verse number 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. To the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and horsemen. Now watch this. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Think about this for a second. This cloud is standing between Israel and it's standing between the enemy and Egypt. And the Bible said that God opened it up and looked at the Egyptians. That's scary. I mean, can you imagine the Egyptians standing there and they're like, this big cloud? I mean, it's been a cloudy day. We can't see the Israelites. We're chasing after them. And all of a sudden, a face peeks through there. Good night. How many times in our life are we just going through our day, hum-ho, and we get up and we read our Bible, we're going to work, and all of a sudden the devil's rearing up his ugly head and the enemy, and you don't know what's going on, but God's on the other side, and he's looking through, saying, back off, bud. Back up. He looks through there and troubled them. Man, that sounds like a scene out of a movie, doesn't it? Out of a scary movie. You know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for this fact that God looked through that pillar, but the children of Israel on the other side, and they were doing just fine. They were doing just fine. God shielded them. There's another passage in the scriptures we find out. I can't recall all the names at this time, but I believe Joshua was involved and they were there. And the enemy was completely surrounding them, but they couldn't see the enemy at all because the presence of God was in the way. And didn't God pray for the young man's eyes to be open? And they saw the enemy, but man, God had a whole host of an army there to protect them. It troubled and crippled the enemy. I asked God, why are you taking me through troubled waters? And he replied back, because your enemy can't swim. God knows what he's doing. It led them. It shielded them. It troubled and crippled the enemy. Look at verse number 25 there in chapter 14. I like this. Man, God's a mechanic and he can fix anything. Amen. I'm asking him right now about my van. Our transmission went out on the way, and I looked at my wife and I looked at God and said, Lord, your van just lost the transmission. We're going to swap vehicles. Let me know what you're going to do about it until we get back. Amen. God can fix it, but he also can take things apart too. Verse number 25, it said, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. The Lord looked through there, they're scared to death, and then he started taking the wheels off. Amen. I'm thankful for the presence of God. It troubled and crippled them. You'll be going through difficult times in this life, and man, you feel like there's no hope, but I'm telling you what, if you're following the presence of God and you're staying with God and God's people, God is protecting you through all that. And you'll go walking across on dry land. Every time I think of this passage where the waters part sides, and man, they're kicking up dust going across there. Hey, man, their clothes are dusty. There's not a lick of water on the ground. And I could just see some of them little redneck boys in our church trying to go fishing in there, seeing all the fish go by. This pillar, it led them. It shielded them. It troubled and crippled the enemy. Not only that, but this is how these people met with God. Look with me in chapter 16, verse number 9. Now listen, God's been there the whole time. God was there when they were in Egypt, but there wasn't a visible presence. God sent Moses back in there and he gave him signs and wonders. And we know the Jew requires a sign. I'm going to mention that again in a second. But God didn't give them the pillar and the fire until after they left that place. And this is how they met with God, was by this pillar and by this fire. We find in chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. This is not only what led them and shielded them and troubled and crippled the enemy, but this is how they met with God. Was this visible presence they had of this cloud by day and fire by night. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 33. This brings us back to our starting text. And I'll give you this thought. And we'll sit down. Exodus chapter 33. We find here, God's been leading them all the way. After they got out of Egypt, the Egyptians fled after them. We find the presence of God protected them. We find it led them from one place to another. There's nothing else in the world that will replace the presence of God in your life. Something tragic here is stated in Exodus chapter 33, where God is disappointed. He's upset because he's been leading them and they've been complaining. He's been leading them and they've been sinning. He's been leading them and they're going after other idols. He's been leading them and they're going after other gods, trying to create themselves gods and all these things. And he finally tells Moses, he said, listen, I'm going to send the angel ahead. They're going to wipe out the enemy for you, but I'm not going with you. And we find that Moses begins to plead with God. And he says, God, you got to tell me who's going with us. We find that over in the other text that we read there in chapter 33 and verse number 12. He said, God, you got to tell me who's going with us. Lord, if you don't go, I don't want to go. The title of the message this morning is You Go, I Go. If you don't go, I'm not going. I don't want to be anywhere that God's not. I don't want to go anywhere that He's not involved in. And Moses said, God, if you don't go with us, I'm not going anywhere. And I tell you what, church and families in here today, we need the presence of God in our home. We need it in our church. We need it in our marriage. We need it in our life. We got to have it. God tells them that He would destroy the enemy, but He's not going. I got a question for the children of Israel this morning. Why in the world would you want to go anywhere without God? Why would you want to? Moses said, I don't want to do it. He leads, He shields, He fights, He fellowships with you. Why do you want to go anywhere without Him? And Moses said, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere unless you're going with us. I mean, I don't even want your angels going with me if you're not going. Amen. I don't want a mediocrity Christianity. I don't want halfway. I don't want to just have the blessings of God because somebody else is walking with God. I want it because He's walking with me. Because I'm walking with Him. There's some people that may be even sitting in this church that you're blessed by proximity. And if you didn't come to church here, you wouldn't have any of that. But because you come, you're blessed because everybody around you is walking with God. Some of these children of Israel, I promise that if God said, hey, I'm sending the angels and they're going to wipe out the enemy and you just keep going on, but I'm not going, they would say, all right, Lord, thank you for helping us. And they would have just kept walking. Oh, He's going to send His angels, so we're good. Lord, we don't need you right now. But thank God they had a pastor that said, no, we're not moving another step unless God's going with us. We're not going another step unless you're going with us. Now listen, the Jews, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:22, they require a sign. I mean, they have to see something. But you know what? Us as a child of God, we operate by faith. The Jews needed the visible presence of God to lead them. We find in Exodus a biblical picture of what God does for us spiritually every day. He leads us. He guides us. He protects us. He shields us from the enemy. Sometimes He takes the enemy's wheels off and we don't even know about it. We find that picture. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to have a big old pillar to follow around. We don't have to have that. You know what? We trust by faith. We trust by faith. I want to tell you this morning that God will not speak today outside of His Word. He won't do it. He's not going to speak to you outside of His Word. I want to ask you this morning, how are you being led? Brother Mike, I'm sure you've heard this many a times. Preacher, I've been praying about it and God is leading me somewhere else. Oh, He is. Show me the verse. Oh, are you following a sign somewhere? Show me the verse. God's not going to speak outside His Word. Amen. You believe that? It's getting real quiet. God, my family, we decided to do this with our children. Yeah. Oh, you did? You prayed about it? Where did God tell you in His Word to do that with your children? Oh, well, everybody else is doing it. Really? Our preacher, I'm just waiting on God to move. People come up with all kind of excuses for what decisions they make in their life and with their children and with their family and with their marriage, and they have not followed the presence of God. You go, I go. God, if you don't go, I'm not going. I fear that we, like the children of Israel, have gotten to a place where we don't know where God's moved. Why? We're just doing our thing every day. God is not going to force His will on any of us. Let me give you this very quick and I'll be done. How does God lead us today? And some of this stuff is obvious. I'll be Captain Obvious for just a few minutes. How does God lead us today? It always starts with the Scriptures. How does God lead us today? It starts with the Scriptures. If somebody comes up to me, preacher, I believe God's telling me to do this, I'm going to ask, have you been reading your Bible every day? God's not going to speak outside of His Word. Now listen, it starts with His Word. Some of these other things I'm going to mention, God uses His Word to speak to His people, to lead His people. But it starts with the Word of God. If your only Bible reading this week came out of Genesis 31, you're in trouble. You got to have it every day. That is where we read today, right? Genesis 31, amen. If that's where it comes from, amen. Some of y'all are saying, man, I wish we were here next week. It's only 30 verses. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are we led today? We're led by the Scriptures. We're led by the Spirit of God. And I don't have to get into a Bible lesson. I know we're in a Bible-believing church, and your pastor's taught you these things, so I'm going to skip over a lot of this. But the Holy Spirit of God will take what you've learned and what you've read in the Scriptures, and He'll lead you and guide you through those things. Romans 8:14, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God through the Scriptures. Well, in my heart, I feel, you messed up already. The heart is deceitful. It's wicked. All of our righteousness is wicked. Filthy rags. I appreciate someone that comes up and says, preacher, I was reading my Bible, and this is what the Lord spoke to me about. You know what? I can get on board with that. I can get on board with that. Well, I'm going to put my kids in this school, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to buy this car, and I'm going to buy this house, and I'm going to do this and do that. What is leading you? We got to have God. Why would you want to go anywhere without Him? I wouldn't want to just tell God, Lord, you stay home, and we're going to close the door because we're going to go do something you're not going to be pleased with. What's leading you? Scriptures. It always starts and goes back to Scriptures. The Spirit of God. The sermons. Thank God for godly preaching, man. For a man that'll stand up and preach. Amen. I listen to messages here. I enjoy hearing your pastor preach. He feeds me. Amen. I'm thankful for it. Amen. I love that message on the Caulker. We need some more caulkers in our churches. The preaching, Titus 1:3 said, but hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I don't want anybody ever in my church to... Now listen, I teach the Bible, and I think there's a difference between teaching and preaching. But man, I don't want them to get up and say, oh, he's just such a wonderful teacher. I want them to say, man, our preacher's a preacher. Amen. I don't mind if they say, and he does a good job teaching also. But God chose the foolishness of preaching. People today are running to teachers and not preachers. Heaping in themselves teachers, having itching ears. They're running away from sound doctrine. Amen. Brother Jim don't know sound doctrine, but... How does God lead us today? Through the Scriptures. Can I ask you, if I was to go around the room and say, please tell me what you read today in your Bible, would you be able to tell me exactly where you read today? Where are you studying in your Scriptures? If I was to ask you that and go around the room and have every person to put you on the spot, would you be able to tell me? Say, preacher, I haven't read my Bible since last week when Brother Randy did it. And you're married? You're leading a wife and you're leading children? You're raising children in this world? The Egyptians are coming down on top of you? And you're not following the Word of God? The Spirit of God doesn't guide you? Why would you go anywhere without Him? You're not faithful to church? You're not faithful to meetings. You're not faithful to Wednesday night or Friday night. I know they have every other Friday night. I can't figure it out. But the teaching and the preaching. Amen. But yet you're leading a home and you're leading a family. And mama, you're trying to raise them kids. And you can't get faithful to the house of God where the preaching takes place, where God will lead you. What if that Sunday you didn't feel like going because something else you thought better came up was the day that God laid a message on the preacher's heart to save your youngin'? Many a times, Brother Johnny, I stood behind the pulpit knowing God gave me a message and I had a family on my heart and they weren't there. You know, God's still good, though, because I'll preach anyway and somebody else will come up. They'll say, man, I needed that. And I'm like, well, I had no clue. Isn't God good like that? It's nice how a preacher can preach and everybody in the room hears it differently. It's like in Acts chapter 2 when Peter's preaching and everybody heard it in their own language. I could be preaching this message and somebody over here says, man, this is what God gave me out of your message. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about this. And somebody over here says, he spoke to me about this. Totally different. Sometimes people come up and say, preacher, this is what God did for me through that message. And I said, man, that wasn't nowhere in there. But you know what? They showed up to church. And God spoke to them because this word will not return void. What are you following? You getting up going to work tomorrow? You just going by yourself? Are we just leaving God down at the church house? I need him every day. I need him every day. He'll always speak to us through Scripture, and he does it through the Spirit of God, bringing to remembrance those Scriptures and the sermons. He'll also meet with us and guide us just through being still. Be still and know that I am God. Man, we are so busy. We're in that phone. All these things that we can't even hear the Spirit of God trying to tell us what to do. The last one I have is, I believe God will lead you through songs. Listen, every one of these go back to Scripture. I appreciate the scriptural songs. Sister Lauren's writing scriptural songs. Songs that were sung this morning. Hey, I have been moved through songs before. Songs don't ever replace preaching, but there should be a message in a song. If you want to go to one of the newfangled churches that have seven words 11 times over and over and over again, have at it. You can be an airhead along with all the performers that are airheads. And they sound real airy when they're singing. Man, keep singing the way you're singing, young lady. I got to move on. The song, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Magnifying Christ. I've been in services, Brother Johnny, where the singers get up and they begin to sing and the power of God moves in and people begin to weep and they begin to move their way to the altar. I've seen people get saved. I've seen people get help through the songs. What's leading you? I don't even know who all the songs are today, the groups. Is that who's leading you? Amen. Mariah Carey, Shania Twain. I don't even know who all these people are anymore. But you know what? They're leading some people. It drives me nuts, Brother Mike, when I show up to church and I see some of the kids. I'll tell you exactly what they're listening to and what their parents are listening to just by watching them. If you know every one of the new dance moves and TikTok dances and all those things, there's something wrong. Is that what's moving you? I like being moved when the Holy Spirit of God touches my heart. I can't stand country music. I should have got more amens than that. The Yankees the one that said amen. They don't even know what country music is up there. If you play country music backwards, you get your wife back and your dog back and your house back and your job back. Country music today, they've taken the country music and they take rap and they mix it together. And it's just a load of crap. But some of y'all listen to it. And I'm telling you, there are messages in those songs. You don't. You want to tell me the great orchestra of heaven, the great choir director of heaven that fell because of pride, isn't still using music to affect people? You'll leave church, Brother Johnny will preach his heart out. You'll get in there and turn on the radio and let the devil steal everything you just heard in that message. The Jews in Exodus had the cloud and fire to lead them. We have the scriptures and the Spirit of God. Turn with me, and I'm finished. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Preacher, I don't know how you want to handle the next part here, if you want to do an invitation or not, but if somebody wants to, they can come play or however you want to do it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and look with me in verse number 3. What's leading your home, sir? What's leading your home and your life, ma'am? Kids, what's leading you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Oh, isn't this a good statement to start off this verse? You there? Say amen. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. We can say amen right there. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul said, I believe I'm going to get up here and preach what God leads on my heart, and I trust that you're going to do it. And look what he says here in verse number 5, and this is the verse we'll end on. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Where he leads me, I will follow. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow. Follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him through the garden. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him through the judgment. Where he leads me, I will follow. He will give me grace and glory. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. What's leading you, church? Let's all stand, Brother Johnny, if you come. Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. Maybe we need to reevaluate our compass.